give description that anybody can take up devotional service. There is no difference between caste, between gender, between anything. There is no difference. Anybody can take up devotional service. But there is a condition to it. Who cannot take up devotional service? A person who is attached to be materially attached, he will not be able to perform devotional service. So then, how is it possible then for us to take up devotional service? We all have some anarthas, we all have some desires in the heart, so how is it possible? Then it is described by the process of never forgetting the Lord. So we have certain ways how we can not forget the Lord. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes that who is the best devotee? The best devotee is the one who fully, unconditionally surrenders to the Lord. So he has no desires left. His only desire is to please the Lord. That's the best. Who is the second best? A person, a devotee, who serves the Lord. And he performs the service, the activity for the Lord. He has no other agenda. He has desire. I would like to serve the Lord this way. So then he performs the service for the Lord. So the whole activity and the result is Krishna's. The devotee has no inclination to take anything from it. He is happy that Krishna is pleased. That's the second best. Now, for a devotee who cannot do that, he must build something, say, he must do something for himself. So, Krishna gives an option. Okay, so do the activity, whatever you are attached to, according to your own desire, do that. Offer me the result. That means, do not forget to offer the result. Don't forget me. Because as we remember Krishna, we offer the result, then it is devotional service. So we offer the result because we are not forgetting the Lord, and that way Krishna accepts it as devotional service. So we may be attached to eating some specific dishes. Great, no problem. So then cook it, make it the best way you know. But before you eat, before you think about eating it, offer it to the Lord. Offer the result of it to the Lord. Krishna eats it, it's prasad. Then you take it, accept it as a prasad. But still the activity was based on your own desire. The activity was because you like pizza, you cooked pizza, you offer pizza. So it is devotional service and Krishna accepts it. But it was our desire. Now, what if we look at the next step? That is, I like pizza, but does Krishna like pizza? Maybe yes. Maybe Srimati Radharani cooks for him. But we may go through the books of the Acharyas and then see the description of what is actually Krishna taking in Vrindavan. What is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taking in Mayapur, in Navadvip? So by those descriptions, then we may come to understand by what the Acharyas are giving that what Krishna likes. And then we may try to now learn how to make these dishes. How to create, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Shukta, Shak, Adi Bhaji, So, how to make the preparations based on what the acharyas are giving and offer that to Krishna? Now, that takes little more than just to do what we want to do, because what do we know what is Shukta? What do we know what is Shah? Maybe we did something. Shukta, I doubt. But, so we may not know. So we may have to never know. We may have to sacrifice a little of time, energy, go and learn, some more energy to do it nicely. And then we can make some preparations which pleases the Lord. Now maybe we were not thinking eating anything bitter, so then we were not thinking anything about Shukta. But since Krishna likes it, so then why not? Let's learn it. Let's make it properly, nicely, and offer that to the Lord. Because the acharyas describe that this is what he likes. So this, to do that, then now we have to think of Krishna when we go to buy the vegetables, when we cut the vegetables, because we will think not how I will like it, but we are making it for the Lord. So we are making for somebody else. So we have to think, oh, should I cut it smaller or should I cut it bigger? Now, which way will the other person prefer it? Because I don't know. So that makes us actually able to remember the Lord throughout the activity. I've heard there was one incident that I think it was Yamuna Mataji. Once she was cooking for Prabhupada, and when she was cooking, she was so absorbed in the cooking itself, so then everything comes perfect, that Srila Prabhupada, he was there, he was watching for some time. I think she didn't even notice him, and she was so absorbed. And then Prabhupada commented on that, that doesn't have to be even offered, it's already offered. So she was so conscious and so Krishna conscious that the activity itself was already performed in Krishna consciousness. So that's the goal. We would like to be able to remember the Lord all the time. So then worshipping the Archa Vigraha, then it helps us. Helps us to be Krishna conscious, at least at the time when we are worshipping the deity. And we should do everything for it, so we are. There was one pujari, Sri Vaishnava, and he said that, or maybe from Marga, no, South India. Then he used to worship shalagrams. And then one day he just says, wow. After worshipping shalagrams for 20 years, I just realized that they are not different from Vishnu. So he realized that. That's great. But it took him 20 years. So we have the great fortune that Srila Prabhupada gave us such a wonderful instructions. And just following these instructions, then we can go back to Godhead. There is no doubt in that. It's only upon us to, in which way we approach the Shastra, which we approach the instructions of Srila Prabhupada. If we approach the instructions based on surrender and we want to advance, so even though we may have desires in the heart, they will get purified. But if we approach the Shastra to try to make it suit to our desires, we will not be able to. We will not understand. We may even doubt, but that's our own problem, nobody else's. So we should very carefully read the books, try to understand the meaning, see the essence, the principle behind the instructions which Srila Prabhupada gives us, and then apply them. Once we know the principles, if we can recognize the principle, then we can apply that particular principle, that particular instruction, under any circumstance. Like, example. Now, Ashwatthama, he kills the children of the Pandavas. Now, he's being chased. Now, Arjuna catches him. Okay, now he deserves to die. Bhima wants him to die. Draupadi said, don't kill him. Now, so what is this? So he can say, well, just, can you work it out? No, and tell me what I'm supposed to do? No. He is smart, he is intelligent. He knows how to apply Shastra. So then he takes the principle. Arjuna has the jewel. So then, cutting the jewel and cutting his hair is as good as killing him. So then he applies that. He cuts his hair, he cuts his jewel off, and then he is as good as dead, but he is alive. So that way he satisfied Draupadi, he satisfied Bhima. That's because he understands the principle. If he wouldn't understand the principle, then yes, he would know what to do. How can I kill him without killing him? So principles are utmost important. We have to see the principle of the particle activity. What to apply, how to do, how we can perform the activity based on the principle. And the principles cannot be changed. The details, how it is done, they may be changed, but not the principles. So like, for example, in the morning, then you want to be clean. So then you know why you want to be clean. So we want to worship the Lord. So to approach the Lord, then we must take bath, brush teeth, and do whatever we need to do. Then we can approach the Lord. Wear no clean clothes. Now, what about when we are traveling, say in the train? So then, okay, we get up, and then it's difficult to take. But so it's possible. Now you can go outside when the train stops and then take bath, or it's possible. But if not, then what? Do we take holidays from devotional service, saying, "Well, I'm not clean, so I cannot worship. So let me just be in Maya. So I'm just going to sleep the whole day." Well, nice excuse. But do we do that? No. At least we shouldn't. I have heard one devotee that he wouldn't go to the toilet in the train or brush his teeth because everything is not so dirty, so I cannot do it. So well, okay, it's personal choice, but once you need to go, I mean, you need to go, whatever you can say. And brushing teeth, okay, if you don't brush teeth in the morning, it's okay, but don't eat anything, because if you eat with dirty teeth, it's a poison. You will get, the mind will get very much affected, tamaguna, pure tamaguna. But no, he would eat, because that's normal, but he wouldn't brush his teeth. So, what is that? This is, Krishna gives the principles of the cleanliness. So he takes us, okay, brush teeth, take bath, and not get ready. So then in the train, maybe difficult. So we will do our maximum whatever we can. So then we will brush our teeth, we will at least wash the face, we will wash our feet. Now, whatever it's possible that we can do, we do. And then after that, then we may pray, no, please Krishna forgive, I'm unable to take bath right now, but as soon as the train stops or whenever I reach the destination, then I will take bath there, no, as soon as possible. But until I do, then I would like to worship you, so I would like to chant some rounds. So then, so at least make sure your hands are clean and then no, you can start chanting. Or if you are not into touching your beads, you think that you are too contaminated, okay, so then chant your fingers or find some other way, but chant the holy name, because there is no limitation to how can you chant the holy name. There is nothing which can stop you from chanting. Only what can stop you from chanting is yourself. Just because you don't want to or you don't feel like, so, but the holy name has no limitations. So, and we can be Krishna conscious. We can keep ourselves Krishna conscious. That's the meaning. So we don't have to do anything else. But now, little addition to that. It's not that, I like it. I don't have to take cold bath in the morning, so I'll do it every day. And say the same thing and do the same thing. So that is bogus. That's not good. Because when you have the opportunity, you should take the bath. That's what Krishna does. Krishna in Vrindavan, he takes bath in the morning. He brushes his teeth before he eats. He does all of this. So, and he showed us what should we do, how should we do it. So it's not that we are following whimsically, something. It's not blind following. We are following what Krishna does. So he instructs us how he wants us to behave, what he wants us to do. So he gives us the culture which we call it the Vedic culture, the culture of Vrindavan. So if we follow that, then this is the media through which we can offer the devotional service. So that's the process of sarana bhakti. And be it Vaidya sarana or Raganuga sarana. And then there is about what do we accept for eating specifically. So then devotees should be first of all very much concerned about whatever we are eating, it is prasad or not. If it is not prasad, it may be as fancy as it can be, but for a devotee it won't be very much attractive. So this also is one of the anarthas that if we don't mind eating something which is not offered to the Lord, that's very important, that we very much desire to eat Krishna prasad. That way then we can keep advancing. But if we don't mind eating prasad, or if it's bhoga, then that will not make us elevate very quickly. because we maintain the desires which we should actually give up. So that's a problem. So therefore we should accept anything which is offered to the Lord, but we should not be endeavoring for something specifically which we like, we desire, and we don't care if it's offered or not. And Rupa Goswami also, he puts it in the category of Atyahara. Okay, any questions? Yes. You want the mic?
Hare Krishna, thank you very much. Concerning offering dishes to Krishna, there's always some controversy. Like now you mentioned that one should follow the standard or the specific issues mentioned by the acharyas. Mm-hmm. Maybe like Krishna appeared in Vrindavan, what he is in Vrindavan, maybe chapati, and so on and so mm-hmm. forth. But now I'm worshipping Krishna in Africa, mm-hmm. where the staple food which can satisfy me is not chapati and rice and all that. Like here, they can eat chapati morning, chapati and mm-hmm. rice and dal morning, afternoon, evening. And I'm offering that, and I'm not feeling satisfied. So what to do? Because I also read somewhere, if I'm right, then the Krishna deity worship book or by Bhaktivinoda, that one should offer his staple food to Krishna. You will accept. So how do we resolve this?
You see,
following what the acharyas are mentioning, what Krishna is in Vrindavan, but I'm worshipping Krishna in Africa, where those things are not.
Okay. You see, then in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, okay, you know, what he wants for him to be offered, yeah? So, patram, pushpam, phalam, toyam. So then, we offer something which Krishna likes. So then, and it must be then, you know, some fruits, some vegetables. And if we don't know what to offer, then we should, from these ingredients, cook whatever we know the best. So then, if we are, say, in Africa, and there are some, you know, dishes which are, say, like the national dishes, something which is very nice, we can offer that to the Lord. It's nicer if you go to visit somebody. So it is nicer if they offer you something which they know how to cook than if they try to cook, say, Indian, and they don't know how to do it. So you cook whatever you know, and with devotion you prepare it for the Lord. That's what you want for the Lord, to be the best. But now, if somebody gives you an opportunity, would you like to learn, say, some Indian cooking? Then you should be very eager, very enthusiastic to figure out, yes, I would like to. What it is that, Sachimata cooks for Nimai? What does Radharani cooks for Krishna? Then, in that eagerness, then we can find out that, that these so many dishes we cannot prepare. But these ones we can do in Africa also. So, let's do this. I go to Europe quite often, and then there is, we prepared shukta from the local sabjis there. It's not a problem. I'm sure you can make it also in Africa. If you have now potatoes, if you have celery, you have other subjects, you can use patties on, whatever locally is available. So with the addition of celery seeds, mustard seeds, and some few other spices which should be available now everywhere, with that you can make a shukta. It will be different a little bit than, say, here, because you might not have Korala. But you can, the bitterness in the Shukta, you can create many ways. But you can do it. That means, if you know the principle how to make Shukta, you know what you are looking at, you can prepare the Shukta from whatever ingredients you have. You just have to adjust the details, but the result will be maybe not the same, but it will be very close, and it will have the elements of Shukta. Because there are hundreds or maybe thousands of recipes for making Shukta. Each cook makes it differently. And each time you make a variety. Srimati Radharani, she doesn't cook one preparation twice. So it's not that, oh, I don't know how to make it, so I'm not going to do it. Maybe we don't know, but we can endeavor. Maybe let's find out. Maybe I can do something even in Africa. So let me try, let me ask around. Let's go to Mayapur, we can figure out what they cook in the kitchen, and then I can find out what's available in Africa and just cook that. So it is possible. But the desire to do that must be there. But until it is possible, until that, then of course the desire to make the best, whatever we can for Krishna, is there. But we should not think that, okay, now I'm cooking the best pizza for Krishna, so then I'm satisfied, fully satisfied with it, and there is nothing to improve. As long as I'm thinking that there is always something to improve, I can make it a little bit better, I'm progressing. As soon as I think that now I'm perfect, there is nothing to improve, that moment I'm falling down. Because devotional service is dynamic. It's not static. So if we think that we can stay on a platform without doing activity, that's wrong. So if we don't try to progress, then we are falling down. So therefore, even though you may be doing the best African dishes for Krishna, which that's great, but then look farther. What it is that Krishna would maybe prefer more than that.
Yes. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Back again to the, you emphasize in few occasions the importance to attendance, the programs. Take a shower in the morning, brush your teeth, take a shower, go to Mangalarti, worship the deity, chant in japa. How about Bhagavatam class? How about Bhagavatam class? We hear sometimes the word is going to the daily base of our activities, day by day. The devotees say, oh, I may go to the Bhagavatam class because I like this guy, how he speak. I may don't go because I don't like this guy, and this and this and that. So in every temple we have a system which the authorities choose persons according with the official established method to point people to speak, right? But the community sometimes, they are a little revolutionary in some place, another place, now and then. Some of them say, oh, let's go to Bhagavatam class because I like how to speak. I don't like to go because I don't like how this guy speaks or something like that. So what is the real criteria, the real point of reference to go to class or to miss the class, according with our own perception or according to our free will? Can you illuminate us, please, about this point?
You see, so Srila Prabhupada, he established the process, the sarana, how we do, what we do. So then he mentioned darshan, darshanarati, and the Bhagavatam class afterwards. So, I mean, it's very clear, the authorities do say that. So now, we may be doing sometimes activities which takes the time during the Bhagavatam class. But if we have the desire, then we attend because we want to. It's spontaneous. Now, if we don't want to, then based on the desires, we may not be attaining it. But you see, devotees who are very busy, they generally find time not to attend the class. But those who are less busy may not be able to. Like Janas Prabhu, Panganjali Prabhu. They are busy with the puja. They are there with the deities. So they may come a little bit later, but they always come for Bhagavatam class. They are very busy. But they follow. Why? Because they want to hear. For them, Krishna Katha is the most important element. So then they are going to take any opportunity to do that. For somebody, no, some other activities may be more important. But then, as long as we decide what we are supposed to do based on our mind, so then we will not be able to progress, really, in our devotional service. To the extent we surrender, to the extent we follow the instructions of our spiritual master, to that extent we will be able to progress. But to the extent we put our own interpretation to it, then to that extent then we may have some difficulty. Like I'm saying, sometimes there are some festivals, so then pujaris, you see, they are busy with the deities, special decorations, so they may not be attending the class. But it's an exception, and they are fully absorbed in the service of the Lord. So if they would have the opportunity, they would come. But if they don't have, they are not something else already doing, so then that's why they don't come. So those who don't have anything more important to do, they should attend Bhagavatam classes. That was Prabhupada's vision. I mean, that is Prabhupada's vision. That's what the desire is, his instructions.
Independent the person who gives the class, independent the person, because I hear that, I just knew here, when Padmanabha Chandras Prabhu used to give the class, 50% of the people missing the class. So the attendance of the audience was reduced to 50%. So I was very shocked and impressed, because that is not properly in a community of people which are real seekers of the truth. And I hear every day that I like to go to the class, or I don't like to go to the class because I don't like these people, that people, this, that. So we should go to the class independent who give the class, or we have the free will to choose if we go to the class or not. That's the question.
The problem is that if we start choosing, again, based on our senses, our mind, no, so then we may miss something. Because actually we may go to class and hear some realization which applies to us. So it makes us more realized, so then that's what we want. Now if we don't go for the class, we may not hear it. So then we missed our opportunity which Krishna was giving us. So it's whenever we have the opportunity, we should attend the Bhagavatam class. Hare Krishna. Okay, well, there is a question. I have seen the mantra Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya mentioned a few verses back. I have heard it's used interchangeably with Om Namo Narayanaya as the mantra given to Dhruva Maharaj. Are these interchangeable? Is there another reference quoting the Narayan mantra? Well, yes, no, Lord Narayan, he resides in In Vaikuntha, Lord Vishnu is also present. So, yeah, they are interchangeable. The mood may be slightly different, but the goal of Dhruva Maharaj actually attaining was Vaikuntha. Okay, any question? If Om Namo Narayanaya or Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, then would be not same. So both are the holy names. Both will make us attracted to the form of the Lord, but the mood may be a little bit different, because devotees who serve the Lord as Narayan, then they would have different mood, their inclination would be a little bit different. Those devotees who serve Krishna as Vasudev, then again, they are, their motives, the inclinations are a little bit different. So, but on each level, not the devotees are pure devotees. They have, there is no difference between the devotee, but in the mood, how they perform. So devotees in Vaikuntha, they have certain way, certain desire, how to serve Krishna in opulence and certain way. But it's all for Krishna. Devotees in Dwaraka, they serve Krishna a little bit different. And devotees in Mathura, again, they have different mood. And in Vrindavan, Brijbasis, they serve Krishna completely differently. So all are devotees and all are in spiritual world. But the devotees in Vaikuntha, they have certain desire how they want to please the Lord, and they do. And Krishna reciprocates. Devotees in Vrindavan, they don't have desire. They don't know how to please the Lord. They just do what Krishna tells them to do. So that way, then the devotees in Vrindavan, they are fully surrendered. They don't know how they can, but whatever pleases Krishna, I'll do. So if Krishna wants me to be with him, I'll be with him. If Krishna wants me to be without, then I'll be without. In any way, they will be pleased. So it's just the mood. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Now, the question I had was, if we're cooking like specifically for devotees or for the spiritual master, then we're thinking about them. They might have some specific taste, they might have a particular health problem, they need more salt, less salt, and we can actually spend quite a lot of time just thinking about that particular person when we're cooking. So is that Krishna consciousness, or we should be thinking about just Krishna and then feeding the devotee prasad?
Of course it's Krishna consciousness. So then you have to see if a certain devotee is cannot eat salt, right? So then you have to make it such a way so then that devotee gets the prasad without salt, because you are not going to please the devotee if it's salty. If you make a feast for 100 devotees and there is one devotee who is not satisfied, the whole feast is just ruined. The whole thing, all the preparations, and even the 99 were satisfied, the one not satisfied, the whole thing is gone. You don't get any good benefit for it. So then you should take endeavor, invite only as many as you can. Now if you invite devotee, and then you have to see what his needs are. So he has to be pleased. You are trying to please the devotee, because to the devotee you please Krishna. So if you are serving somebody and you know he doesn't eat salt, so you have to be very conscious of not to put salt into the dishes. But you don't offer something Krishna without the salt, because he doesn't have diet, right? So then so you have to use your brain how to do it. So then maybe before, when it's cooked, before putting the salt, then you just take portion out, then put it in another dish, and then put salt for Krishna. Then offer that to Krishna, and in your mind you also have to offer the other dish. So then when that's being offered, so then after that you serve from the other dish to that person, but everybody else you serve from the dish with the salt. Or sometimes you may not know guests coming, you don't know what the needs are. So don't ever put extra salt. Just put just right amount. And then you put salt on the side of the plate. So then if somebody likes to take extra salt, then they will help themselves. So you have to be always considerate. So the best, and that's the part of sambandha. So you prepare. So you are expecting guests, so you should inquire. What would you like to have? Because it's about guests, right? The guests are the objective. In fact, the guests are also coming, to Krishna's temple, say to your house. So then you want to do everything for them. And you do it such a way so then Krishna will be happy with it. So then you do the arrangements, so then you fully satisfy the guests, and it's nothing which is going to dissatisfy Krishna.
So if we're conscious of the devotees and the guests, that when we're cooking, and this is Krishna consciousness still, just by being, we're fully conscious of the guests that are coming and the devotees.
Yes, you are cooking for devotees, then you have to be very conscious of the devotees. How are they going to like it? Because you are pleasing Krishna through pleasing the Vaishnavas. And then Vaishnavas will not like something which Krishna doesn't like. We cannot cook something, and because we are unconscious we ruin it, and we say, well, it's prasad and Krishna liked it, so you have to eat it. They may not like it. And it doesn't maybe proving also that you are very conscious or even Krishna conscious. It doesn't. Because if you do it with the consciousness that you want to make it perfect because the devotees are going to eat it. But before the devotees, who eats it? Krishna. We should be also very careful also how do we eat. I had seen many times how devotees deal with prasad. It's extremely bad. Sometimes they go and they pick themselves, say chapati, the best one, the hot ones, then go and sit. They don't wait for when they get it. And then because there is some atta on it, so then they bang it on the floor to get it off. That's prasad. So if we deal with prasad like that, then of course that's how we deal with everything else. And that's our desire, how we want to reciprocate with Krishna. That shows the mentality. So if we desire to have something wonderful for the Vaishnavas, then we should cook everything properly and make sure it gets served properly. Because serving is as important as cooking. And sometimes you can have something very nice, but if it's not served properly, then it's ruined. Especially so for Guru Maharaj, many devotees want to cook, right? So then they cook South Indian dishes and North Indian or this, that. Now, if you have some brahmachari who doesn't know how to serve, and he serves, some dalma with some sambar and mix everything together, who is going to be pleased? Not him. Not Krishna. Not the Matajis who cooked. They will be probably completely in anxiety. Oh, what is he serving? What is he doing? So one has to be expert in cooking and serving. Then the prasad is fully done. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Now, how much description is there about cooking and serving? How, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes to the house of Arvita Acharya, what's cooked, how it is cooked, how it is served, how the plate looks like? So important. Because these are the loving exchanges, no, among devotees. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu shows us, no, how we should do it. Bhunkte bhojayate. And if we can do it, then we can develop the loving relationships, otherwise no. If we, no, just, you quickly go, no, put something on a plate, no, sit anywhere, dirty or not, and then you just eat it quickly, and then you want something more, so then go stay in the queue again with the dirty hands. Now, no, you get something and sit somewhere else because your seat is already taken, and it, there is dal spilled, but no, what can you do? No, say to quickly eat because you don't have time. You don't have time to, no, even see who is sitting next to you. Are we eating because we need to fill up the stomach, or are we eating because we are taking Krishna prasad? So if we are taking Krishna prasad, then no, there are many descriptions of how to take it, how to do it. So all these details, what we are actually not understanding, or we call them details, they are actually principles. So we don't mind changing the principles, but we are so stubborn to keep the details, and that's our problem. Jai Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Nitai Gaur Paramananda.